This morning we gather together that we might truly remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We read earlier this morning from one of the accounts of the Gospels of the resurrection story. We know that the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the fundamental tenets of our Christian faith. For you and I not to understand or know or believe in the resurrection is really to make our religion vain. If there are many today who deny that Jesus Christ is risen. But Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 clearly delineates the truth that without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, our faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we all of all men most miserable." Although you and I know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is in truth a fact, the reality is that the significance of this cardinal doctrine is being lost in our day. The Barna Group, which is a group that does religious polling and runs statistics and finds out information about what people truly believe, the Barna Group found out that 42% of all adults that were polled were able to link the resurrection of Jesus Christ with the celebration of Easter. That means the vast majority of adults don't realize that Easter Sunday has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are losing the significance of the importance of Jesus Christ's resurrection. And I trust this morning that as we come and study the Word of God, that our hearts are going to rejoice in the wonder of his resurrection. He is risen. We don't need to look for him among the dead, for Christ is risen, as he said. He today sits on the right hand of the Father on high. And because of that resurrection, you and I also will live. Because of that resurrection, we've been given the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death has been conquered, and sin no longer has dominion over us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing it is. And this morning, we want to take some time to consider the importance of the resurrection and the imperatives that come in light of the resurrection. Before we do that, though, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together this morning. Father, we come before you now and we ask that in the moments that we have remaining, as we come to study the Word of God, that you would help us to see the importance of this wonderful doctrine, the doctrine of the resurrection. Without Jesus Christ being raised, our faith is in vain, our preaching is vain, all that we do is vain, and we are of all people most miserable. But Father, we thank you that there is a resurrection. Jesus Christ today is living for us. He sits there at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. And we look forward to that day where he will leave that place and come to call us home to be with him. And we are involved in the resurrection. We thank you, Father, and we praise you for what will be accomplished in this hour that's before us to study your word. Teach us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning as we begin, I want us to consider the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We began reading in 1 Corinthians 15, and Paul makes it very clear that the resurrection is of great importance. In fact, he's going to give the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 to the topic and the study of the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection. In the early church, as in our day, the doctrine of the resurrection was being devalued. There were some who were saying there is no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. And by denying the resurrection of the dead, they are denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Paul therefore begins to teach carefully and lay out an argument to remind the church about the importance of the resurrection. And as we come together this morning on this Easter Sunday morning, I want us to be reminded of two things that the resurrection is important, why it's important. And first of all, I want you to see with me that the resurrection is essential for our salvation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential for our salvation. If you look in 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses, you'll read these words. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Notice the words of verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So Paul in verse 1 says, I am preaching unto you the gospel, and it is by that gospel that ye are saved. Now look at what the basic tenets of the gospel are. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Verses 3 and 4 give to us clearly the gospel in simple form. And that is this: Jesus, according to the Scripture, died for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again as the Scriptures had promised. Folks, that is the gospel message. He died, he was buried, he rose again. He did it for you, conquering sin and conquering death. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't have the gospel. The resurrection is essential to our salvation. To remove the resurrection of Christ from the gospel is to make the message of the Bible of no effect. Paul would go on and say later on, if we remove the resurrection and if Christ is not risen, then you and I are still dead in our sins. And if our hope is only in Christ in this life also, we are of most people most miserable. Without the resurrection, our salvation is in vain. Our belief is in vain. Our faith is in vain. For we are still dead in our sins. But praise be to God, there is the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus Christ is risen. The resurrection is essential to our salvation. Turn over with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. And see with me again this point. Essential to our salvation is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we're reminded, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye had all your conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Now notice verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God in his great love and his mercy, wherein he loved us, saved us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. What did he do as part of our salvation? The Bible says he quickened us. He made us alive. He gave to us life. Associated with our salvation is the truth of resurrection. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we too are made alive as we place our faith and trust in him. By this grace we have been saved. The resurrection is essential to our salvation. If you remove the doctrine of the resurrection, the gospel is made null and void. Your faith is in vain. Your salvation is not real. You are dead in sins. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's alive. He conquered sin and he conquered death as he rose victoriously from the tomb. Not only is the resurrection essential to our salvation, but folks, I want you to understand that the resurrection is essential to our security. Our salvation is clearly linked to the resurrection. And if Christ is not raised, then we are dead in sins. I want you to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John. And I want you to look at chapter 14 with me. John chapter 14. And I want to look at verse 19. The Lord Jesus is here speaking of the truth that he would not leave his disciples comfortless. He's going to send to them another comforter, the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice the words of verse 19. Jesus said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Jesus Christ makes it very clear, although the world would see him no more, there was a day coming and he was teaching his disciples that he would go to a cross and he would die. From that moment on, the world would see him no more. But Jesus Christ would be raised and his disciples would see him. He would appear unto them. He would prove to them that he was truly alive. He was, as he says, arisen. Jesus Christ promised that because he lives, we also will live. Folks, that speaks to my security. I have nothing to fear. My salvation is secure. He has promised to comfort me with this truth that because he lives, I also will live. Because of the resurrection, I am guaranteed eternal life. Because he lives, I also will live. I love the words to that wonderful hymn, "My faith has found a resting place." Verse 1 reads, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead." Because of that verse, the author of the song was able to write the refrain, "I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me." Folks, our faith rests in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is essential to our salvation and it's essential to my security. Because he lives, I live. Jesus Christ is risen. That doctrine is an important doctrine. Although it's being devalued in our culture today, and folks don't understand that this is why we gather together, it's because Jesus Christ is living. And that's what this holiday is all about. It is about Jesus Christ who is alive. Because he lives, I live. It's essential to my faith. It's essential to my security. And I rest in that truth. I hope you do as well this morning. And as we understand that the resurrection is important, I also want you to understand that there are imperatives that come because of this doctrine. I want you to open your Bible now to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Once we have established the importance of the resurrection, once that is firmly established within our hearts, we ought to ask ourselves, how does this doctrine affect me? We know that the truth of the resurrection is fundamental to our faith and one that cannot be denied. But it's one thing to believe in that resurrection. It's another one to allow that belief to affect the way that I live. We can claim to believe in the resurrection, but through our actions and our life, really make that doctrine of no effect. And Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3 and reminds us that because we are risen with Christ, there are some imperatives that we must follow. I want you to look at verses 1 through 4 with me of Colossians chapter 3. Paul writes, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory." There's three imperatives that I want you to see with me briefly this morning. First of all, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he lives, and because I am risen with him, I am to seek that which is heavenly. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Again, I'll remind you that that word, if, found in your English translation, in the Greek would really be the word since. Since we have been risen, in light of the reality that we are risen with Christ, then there are some imperatives for us to follow. And the first is that we are to seek that which is heavenly. Paul here instructs the church at Colossae that since they are risen, to seek that which is above. We are to be seeking heavenly things as we live here upon the earth. Why? Because we've been risen with Christ. Because he lives, I live also. And since I have received that wondrous victory, that wondrous blessing of eternal life, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I am to seek after that which is heavenly. Lord Jesus, while upon the earth in his earthly ministry, said it this way, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You and I are to be seeking that which is above. The Bible tells us that we can either lay up for ourselves treasures upon the earth. We can go after those things which are earthly, those things in which moth and rust can corrupt and where thieves can break through and steal. That's one choice that we can make, but there's a better choice. We can seek to lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves cannot break through nor steal. We're to be seeking first the kingdom of God. By the way, that word seek means to seek as if looking for a treasure. I don't know how many of you do the Easter egg hunts with your kids. I remember that as a child, doing some of those things. We haven't really done that a lot with ours. One, because I'm afraid I might forget where I hid the eggs. And then the only way we're going to find it is through smell. Don't necessarily want to do it that way. But I remember you would search through the house. You would seek because there was something to gain. That's the concept of the word. To seek until you find. There's a desire for that which is heavenly. In light of the fact that Christ has raised us from the dead and given us eternal life, should we not then seek after those things which are eternal instead of those things which are temporal? The challenge for you and I is because we've been risen with Christ, we should seek those things that are heavenly. There's a second imperative, though, found in verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Paul continues with the challenge and, in fact, intensifies it even the more when he says that we are to set our heart on things above. Not only because we've been risen with Christ should we seek that which is heavenly, we should set our affections, our heart, on things above. You know, it's one thing to seek for something, it's another to set your affections on it. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Maybe you can remember when you were looking for your first home. Or maybe you know what it's like because you're looking for another home. You can seek for a new home, but it's something else when you set your affections on it. When it's time to seek for a new home, you begin to do all the things you need to do. You contact the realtor. You tell them what you're looking for. You tell them what the price range you think you can afford. You begin to set up appointments. You begin to go and you begin to walk through the homes. You begin to see what they're like. And you begin to investigate to find the home that you are looking for. You may go through several homes. You may go through 20 homes, 30 homes, who knows? But the day comes, remember, when you walk in the door and that's your home. When you walked into this one, you began to see your furniture in place. You began to see the family there gathered around the table. You began to begin to create the memories already. And it's not your home yet. But you set your affections on it. You've been seeking. Now you have set the affections. This is the home we want. So you make the offer. You nervously wait for the realtor to get back to see if they've accepted the offer. Or are they going to counteroffer? Is someone else going to sneak in and take away my home? It's not your home yet, but in your mind it is. Why? Because you have set your affections on it. That's the home you want. You've been seeking, now you've set. We can look at all kinds of other illustrations. For men, might be better to look at things such as a car or those special toys that we like. It's one thing to search and to seek. It's another to set. We're told in Colossians chapter 3, not only are we to seek heavenly things, but we are to set our affections on them. Our heart ought to be in tune to that which is heavenly. Our heart needs to be set on things above. We ought to have a passion for heavenly things. We ought to have a passion for all things spiritual. Can I remind you of this truth? Heaven is more than an abstract concept which we trust someday to realize. By the way, if that's how you view heaven, your heart is not yet set there. Folks, heaven is our home. We are pilgrims passing through this world, but heaven is our home. It doesn't matter where you go and where you travel, there is only one place that is to you home. Home. It's a wonderful place. You can travel and stay in the nicest of accommodations, but it's still not home. You can go back to your old family home, that place that you grew up with, but in reality, it's still not home. Home is where you have set your affections. It is the place you want to be. I always marvel, people spend a whole year talking about going away on vacation. And as soon as they go away for the holiday, you know what they talk about the whole time they're away? Can't wait to get home. Why don't we just save ourselves the money and not go anywhere?
For 50 weeks out of the year, we talk about, gotta go on vacation, can't wait till we go, can't wait till we go, making our plans, this is gonna be so exciting. We get down to go, boy, I can't wait to go home. Why? Because that's where our heart is. Let me ask you, Christian, is your heart set in home? Is home in heaven or is home here on earth? Paul says, we've been risen with Christ, and may I remind you that in Christ and being raised with Him, according to Ephesians 2, we have been made to sit in heavenly places. That's our home. In light of the resurrection, we should set our affections on those things above. And there's a third imperative, and that's found really in verses 3 and 4. For we are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. We are to seek those things which are heavenly. We are to set our heart on things above. But finally, we need to stay satisfied with heavenly things. The final challenge that we must reckon with is that we need to be satisfied with those things that are heavenly. Verse 3 tells us that we are dead. The idea of that word is simply that we are dead to those things of the world. Our life is now hid with Christ. We are perfectly united with Christ. We are identified with Him. My life to this world is dead, and I am alive unto Christ. I am hid with Him because of the resurrection. I've been made to walk in newness of life. That's exactly the reason why Paul would be able to say in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am crucified, but I live. I am dead to self. I am dead to sin. I am dead to the things of this world. I am satisfied in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is my life. I'm satisfied in Him. Verse 4 reminds me of my hope that when He appears, we will appear with Him in glory. It's because of Christ's physical resurrection from the dead and from the grave that we look forward with to great anticipation the day that we are forever with the Lord. Folks, that's why there's no sting in death. That's why there's no victory in the grave. We have a hope of eternity. Because He was raised, we also will be raised. And for me, that ought to be enough. For you, that ought to be enough. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the source of our satisfaction. We will forever be with the Lord. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful thought. Jesus Christ is risen. This week, I found this poem while preparing the message. It says, the tomb could hold Him no longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ arose on Resurrection Day. Jesus Christ is risen. Because Jesus came to this earth, and because He gave His life for us, and because He rose again, we have the blessing of eternal life. He is risen. It's an important truth. It's an important doctrine. Yes, He died and He was buried, but He rose again the third day according to the Scripture that we might live. I trust we'll never forget the importance of the resurrection and that we would never devalue it by the way in which we live. There are some imperatives. Seek that which is heavenly. Set your heart on those things that are above. Stay satisfied with the heavenly. Stay satisfied in Christ alone. What a wonderful truth. Because He lives, I will live also. He came, He died,
He was buried, but he rose again. Death has been conquered. Sin, the body of sin, have been destroyed. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be honor and glory, both now and forevermore. Let's pray.